Rough Rider Radio is paid for by Yavapai College and is solely responsible for its content.
From the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM in Prescott, and at 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A, it's time for Rough Rider Radio, a focus on Yavapai College. And now, here's your host for Rough Rider Radio, Kim Capen.
Welcome to Rough Rider Radio, the show about all things related to Yavapai College, your community college. We have two very informative guests with us today. First up is Dr. Curtis Kleinman. He was just awarded his PhD. He'll tell us if foreign language programs like Rosetta Stone can actually teach you Spanish in just 10 minutes a day, and why he tells his friends that he teaches adult kindergarten. Interested in hearing about that. Later in the show, we'll meet Jerry Denniston, author, instructor, and director of the Small Business Development Center at Yavapai College. If you run a small business or if you're a budding entrepreneur, you'll definitely want to hear what Jerry has to say. We're going to take a short break and come back with Dr. Curtis Kleinman.
Follow your passion at Yavapai College. Are you interested in the world of numbers, computers, and business? Then the School of Business and Computer Systems is the place for you. Yavapai College's highly trained instructors will guide you in the areas of computer networking, accounting, paralegal studies, hospitality, and more. Combine your creative abilities with the technical know-how at Yavapai College and lay the groundwork for a new career. Visit their website today at yc.edu and learn to do what you love. You're listening to Rough Rider Radio on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, Kim Capen.
Our first guest today is Dr. Curtis Kleinman. You know, you were recently awarded a PhD. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
And how did you do that? You have a full-time job and a family, and you're earning a doctorate. How do you balance all of that?
Red Bull, mostly.
Red Bull. Nicely done.
It's a lot of late nights. And it's been fun, though.
Tell me about what you were studying. You know, I saw the degree. I didn't understand a bit of it. It had to do with learning styles, et cetera.
Yeah, I focused on learning theory, cognitive load theory, but my degree is in instructional design. So instructional designers are support specialists usually. In industry, they help run corporate training. And at universities and community colleges like Yavapai, they help faculty members design their courses and make sure that they're the most efficient and effective courses that that they can be.
Now I understand.
Yeah.
See, there's a reason you have your doctorate. You're educating us.
Yeah, I'm smart.
Yeah. How did you get involved with teaching Spanish? You know, I've seen you work with your students. You have a real love for this, a real passion.
I do. I've always loved Spanish, going back from studying it when I studied it in high school. But I've just grown in my love for it over the years. I served a mission for my church in Argentina, where I was serving 2 years in Buenos Aires doing missionary work. And I just grew in love for the language and for the culture, the Latin culture, and I just loved it. And then when I came back, I decided I wanted to keep studying. I first went into English as a teacher, and I just always enjoyed teaching. But I just didn't sync with a lot of my colleagues that were English students. I was like the only person in my program that hadn't read Harry Potter, and I was just ostracized. But when I switched over to teaching Spanish, I just got along with all the other students. They all loved to travel, and they all loved Latin American culture, and so did I. So I just kept going with it, and I've loved it, and I just love teaching Spanish. Mm.
Well, let's back up a little bit to your earlier days. Let's bring us up to speed on how you got to Yavapai College. So even before you traveled to South America, tell us about where you came from and what you did as a kid and all the way through college.
Sure. Well, I was actually born and raised right here in Prescott, Arizona.
You're a local.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I'm actually my kids are fourth generation Prescottonians. Mm. My grandfather had a mobile service station right where Charlotte Hall is right now.
No kidding.
Yeah, so we go way back in this area, but I was a student at Yavapai College and graduated in 2004, and got married that summer, went up to NAU, kept studying Spanish, and a position opened up in 2008 here, the first position that opened up for like 20 years. Serge Ainsa took over for him, who was a Spanish instructor here for many years, and been here ever since.
What are some of the biggest changes you've seen in Prescott and Yavapai College during all your years living here and, of course, working here?
Well, now we have Prescott Valley. We didn't have that before when I was a kid, but no, it's just, I've seen the area grow. I've seen Yavapai College is totally different. When I was a student here, we had all this artwork, and it was just kind of a really strange vibe out there on the quad, where it was really just kind of industrial, sort of a Bauhaus motif. But now the college has just had a huge facelift and makeover, and it's a beautiful campus that's really well cared for. Just the infrastructure of the college has expanded so much. It's beautiful. When I was at NAU, I always laugh because I was a graduate assistant at NAU, and I was teaching there. And they work much more on endowments. And so always it's kind of the joke that the modern languages building is always kind of the redheaded stepchild. They don't have any of the technological advances. And in 2008, I was carting around overhead projector from, you know, the late 70s and transparencies, whereas the College of Business had an LCD projector and, right, and just beautiful technology in every room. The beauty of a community college is all throughout the college we have the same infrastructure and beautiful technology to bring the best education to our students.
Absolutely. And speaking of that, you told me you tell your friends that you teach adult kindergarten. What did you mean about that? I've actually seen you teach, and I know the answer, but I'd love to hear it from you.
Well, it's we just have fun. Like, if you think back to kindergarten, I mean, we don't have nap time and snack time, but we do teach our students colors, days of the week. We sing songs. And we have these integrated adult personalities that we teach, and we strip away all their communicative ability to the point so that they're, in a sense, kindergartners. And it's a little disconcerting, so we do a lot of things that we would do in kindergarten. And it's fun to relive that learning environment as an adult, of being able to sing and dance in some cases and learn colors, days of the week, and basic communication. And it's just a ball. You can teach through a foreign language. You can teach anything. You can teach math. We do some math exercises. We do some history and culture, but all through the foreign language of Spanish that's all around us.
Mm. Now, is Spanish still a prerequisite for some of the universities? And what is the advantage of taking it at Yavapai College as opposed to a transfer student taking it at U of A?
Well, very much so. Foreign language is still an important requirement to be admitted. If you don't go through the community college, if you come out of high school, just to be admitted to the big three state universities, you need to have 2 years of Spanish. And if you transfer from Yavapai College, bachelor's of arts degrees, often at U of A, all of the bachelor's of arts degrees require either 2 or 4 semesters of a foreign language, and we offer Spanish here and American Sign Language. So it's very much still, especially for bachelor's of arts degrees, a major requirement, and we hope that students will take it here. I remember teaching at NAU, and I had a lot of disgruntled juniors and seniors in my class with all the rest of the freshmen taking Spanish 101 because they said they were transfer students and no one told them that they had to take their foreign language.
Yeah.
But it's very much an important requirement, and we offer lots of beginning level Spanish so that students can get those credits out of the way before they transfer.
And I would imagine the cost savings is tremendous, knowing that here at Yavapai College, it would be about $75 a credit hour,
right,
versus $400 a credit hour at one of the universities.
Very much so.
So why not get it out of the way here?
Seems to make a lot of sense. And there are 4 credit classes. When I was looking at it, to just transferring up to one of the cheapest NAU in our area, $600 a credit hour compared to, you know, our low tuition rate in the state. It's a no-brainer. So hopefully these 4 credit classes, usually Spanish 101 and 102 are required, so 8 credits. It's really good to get them out of the way here at Yavapai College, where it's cheap and the instruction
and high
is quality.
There we go.
Is quality, that's right.
Very good. talk to us a little bit about programs like Rosetta Stone and other knockoffs that promise to teach you Spanish in 10 minutes a day. Are those, is that for real?
You know,
you're a consumer reporter, if you could.
Rosetta Stone and the Pimsleur approach make a lot of waves on the internet. But it's very interesting how human mind learns a foreign language. Actually, Rosetta Stone in most of its exercises and activities would be most effectively applied to a 1 or 2 year old. When we learn a second language, the way the mind goes about learning a second language as an adult is very different from a child. A child is like a big sponge, and the child just acquires whatever it hears and starts to turn on some of the universal grammar principles and parameters as they start to hear a foreign language. But as an adult, when you learn a language, a second language, you always have to filter it through your first language. You're questioning, you're asking, why is it like this? And so everything's filtered through the desire to formulate rules and understanding and conceptualize. Rosetta Stone is good at teaching you phraseology. Here's a phrase, you can use it. Here's a lot of phrases, repeat it back, your pronunciation can improve. But if you really want to make steps towards becoming fully fluent and bilingual, your mind is kind of get through a Rosetta Stone program, but then ask, but why do we do it this way? So you might be able to memorize a bunch of phrases in 10 days through Rosetta Stone, but the human mind is going to ask, I need more. I need the grammar behind why we're doing what we're doing.
Need to learn how to conjugate a verb.
Right.
For
exactly.
example. Very good. Exactly. And you can learn that with Dr. Curtis Kleinman at Yavapai College. You know, Yavapai is not just about transfer students. There are students who take classes for the love of learning, or possibly in this case, and please help me with this, I think learning Spanish would really enhance your tourism experience if you were to travel to Mexico and other Latin countries and Europe where they speak at least the same basic Spanish.
That's true. I mean, being able to navigate your way through a dinner or buying something on the street in Mexico or in Spain or wherever you're traveling can be greatly enhanced. Sometimes if you just take one course where you get the basics of, okay, so this is how I formulate a question. This is how I formulate a statement. Sometimes just one course can get you a long way. I'll have students that go abroad after just taking one or two courses, and if they have a great desire to learn, it's amazing the fluency they come back with. Mm. And so it's a huge opportunity for learning.
Right. Now, you talked a little bit about the learning differences between adults and kids. They say older adults have a harder time learning. Is that something that you have found in terms of foreign language, that it's a little more difficult? And we just have 1 minute left, so don't have to apply all your doctorate principles, but is that a true statement?
Well, I think children acquire language without trying. You know, my kids speak Spanish because I only speak to them in Spanish. But adults, like I say, they have a desire to learn rules and have to apply those rules in new environments. So a kid's going to be able to learn quickly if you just speak to them. But a kid that's pre-literate, it's going to be hard to teach them all the nuts and bolts of a language.
Right.
But if they hear it and they start to apply it and start to use it, they'll learn it quickly.
Right. Okay.
But adults can learn it faster. Mm-hmm. Think about how you learned English. You learned English through you're putting one word together at one, two words together at two, and at five you were speaking a lot.
And but I still
adult,
am.
An adult can learn a lot of Spanish in just 1 year.
Very good. Dr. Curtis, thank you for joining us on Rough Rider Radio. We're going to take a short break and come back with the SBDC's Jerry Denniston.
A college education can get really expensive. That's why people choose Yavapai College. They've done the math. Yavapai's tuition is thousands less than a state or private university. Definitely the best choice for a low-cost, high-quality education with super supportive instructors. You can take credit classes to earn a degree or certificate, to transfer over to another institution, or simply for personal enjoyment. Register today at yc.edu. Yavapai College. Life explored.
You're listening to Rough Rider Radio on KQNA. Once again, here's your host, Kim Capen.
And we are back with Jerry Denniston, Director of the Small Business Development Center at Yavapai College. Welcome, Jerry.
Thank you.
You have more than 30 years of management and marketing experience in banking, transportation, marketing information, publishing, etc. Pretty impressive career, and you're still going strong. Tell us a little bit about your background and how you ended up here.
Well, I guess I'm a serial entrepreneur and a marketing professional. That's been my career. I like working. I like being busy. It's really hard. I don't know what to do with myself if I'm not working and not staying busy. And marketing was the area that I really focused my career on, but I've had additional training in strategic management and business planning and business management. And for the last 30 years, my husband and I have had a consulting practice where we've worked with small businesses, helping them develop their business plans and strategic plans and their marketing.
Yeah, I noticed that you said you had worked with your husband. I'm thinking, boy, and they're still together
and
after all this time.
30 years.
That's right. How do you balance that?
Well, we started out as friends. That's number one, friends and colleagues with a lot of respect for one another. And then he has certain areas of expertise. I have areas of expertise. They complement one another, and we don't get in each other's business. Mm-hmm. And then we also work together mm-hmm. with a client, but we bring those two perspectives. And so it works. And we're able also to keep the business separate from the personal.
Mm-hmm. Where were you born and raised, by the way, before you got here?
I was born in Olney, Maryland, but I was raised in Indonesia. 10 years in Indonesia.
How did that come about?
My father was first with the Ford Foundation and then with Standard Oil of New Jersey, now Exxon Corporation. Mm-hmm. And he was hired to go and do a study initially by Ford to see how trainable Indonesian natives were in American management techniques.
Interesting.
And after doing that study, he said, you know, they're really wonderful people. They're very industrious. They're very good workers, and they're very adaptable to being trained. And so he spent 5 years with Ford training American management techniques, and then Standard Oil of New Jersey was going in and developing oil. And so they hired him to do that because the agreement was if the companies came over at that time, a certain percentage of middle managers had to be Indonesian natives. Mm.
So you come by your professional chops, honestly.
I do.
Exposure.
And my mother also was a business manager. Mm-hmm. She went up through the business side. She was the budget manager for the president of U-Haul Corporation.
Mm, okay. And how did you end up at Yavapai College and the SBDC?
I started teaching here in 2011 as an adjunct faculty member. I was teaching social media marketing, and that was actually through the SBDC under a different director. And so I was aware of the SBDC, and then the opening occurred, and I'd been teaching, and Dr. Joy D'Angelo contacted me and said, Jerry, really would like you to apply for this position.
And the rest is history. Yeah, I just want to back up a little bit and talk about the evolution of social media marketing. You know, it's still, even though you started teaching in 2011, it's been around obviously a little bit longer than that, but really coming into its own as a marketing mechanism now more than ever, especially with Facebook and some of the other social media sites developing advertising models.
Right. I came across this in 2005, and that was when it was really beginning to take off as a business marketing tool. And as I studied more about it, I realized this is the direction marketing is going. And if I'm going to be a marketing professional and continue learning and developing my skills, I needed to learn everything I could about social media marketing. So I just jumped in with both feet, and I got myself on all the social media platforms I could possibly find. So, you know, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Snapchat, Pinterest, you name them, I'm on all of them. Mm. And I learned enough about those where I could identify which ones were the best ones to concentrate on.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I began to teach this and learn how to develop this, I was helping other people and training other people on how to do that. So,
okay, well, we have a lot of business people that listen to the show, and they might be interested to hear, what do you think is the most effective social media presence to advertise your business in? If you are, say, a restaurant, we have lots of people starting up restaurants here. We have service businesses for healthcare. Where should they be looking in terms of doing social media marketing?
Well, the first thing I would say is know who your target audience is, because if you don't know who your target audience is, you could miss the mark totally. But the reality is Facebook is the biggest platform and everybody's on Facebook. But it depends on, again, who that target audience is. If you're going after 18 to 24-year-olds, they're moving away from Facebook. The biggest, the fastest-growing demographic on Facebook actually is women over 55. Why do you think that's true, Ken?
Well, I am guessing the younger people are moving over to Instagram. Some of the older people are still staying on Facebook. It is a way for them to stay connected with their peers. Women tend to like community, and psychographically they are able to connect there, and that's a comfortable place for them to be.
That's true. That's all of that. And one other element is families are growing up on social media.
Mm-hmm.
And with all of our distributed families, that's frequently the only way that parents can stay in touch with their children and their grandchildren, because they're seeing them on Facebook and they're following them on Facebook. And if they don't have the Facebook account, they don't know what their granddaughter's doing in Ohio.
Exactly. So, I hear that quite a bit.
Yeah. So that's one of those. So yes, first your target audience, but Facebook is a good one for, and Instagram for restaurants for
mm-hmm.
sure. If you're going after the much younger audience, Snapchat, and they're mm-hmm. now they're developing tools for Snapchat, because it really started as a instant messaging program, but the tools are expanding. That's how Twitter started. And Twitter is kind of going by the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Twitter may be one that gets acquired. And I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, Facebook acquires them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they did with, I think, with Instagram. It
mm-hmm.
was separate, and they acquired Instagram and integrated it.
Right.
They did that with WhatsApp, I think. They
mm-hmm.
Yeah, WhatsApp they bought for $9 billion in 2 years. That's what you want to do. You want to start up a social media platform that's unique. You want to get in as much, you want to have it grow as quickly as possible and get the attention of Facebook so you can be
acquired.
That's
right. So Mark Zuckerberg.
There's the business model.
Yeah. So Zuckerberg opens up his wallet and hands you about $1 billion
exactly.
and says, see you later. You move to Indonesia have another life.
Exactly.
There have been some changes at the Small Business Development Center. Let's talk about that structure and some of the things that are offered at the SBDC. It's really a wonderful organization available to everybody in our county.
It is. It is. And in 2017, we did go through a huge amount of change and transition, because the director and the full-time business analyst based in Prescott both retired at the same time back in, I think, March or April. So that left a bit of a void. There was only a part-time analyst serving all of Yavapai County until Richard Hernandez and I joined mm-hmm. in June. And he joined as the full-time analyst and I came on as the director. And then a few months later, he was offered the opportunity to step into the role of the director of the Regional Economic Development Center. So now, instead of being reporting to me, he's now my boss, but we have an excellent working relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And so that works just fine. And we have now replaced his position we've made the Verde Valley part-time analyst a full-time analyst. So we have Kathy Teal over there as our full-time business analyst, serving all of Verde Valley from Cottonwood to Sedona to the town of Camp Verde.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a part-time business analyst, Karen Eads, who works out of the Prescott office, and she serves Chino Valley and Prescott and Prescott Valley. And I also see clients, even though I'm the director and I've got a lot of other hats I have to wear. I also see clients on a regular basis in Dewey and Prescott Valley. And on Friday, we'll be bringing on another part-time analyst, and he's an ex-banker. He's worked with small businesses in the banking world and with the FDIC. So he's coming on board as a part-time analyst, and so we'll have a really good team.
Now, what do analysts do? You know, we hear that term. We see that title. What does a business analyst do in the realm of the SBDC?
It's really one-on-one counseling and coaching. We're coaches. We're counselors. We don't do the work for the client, but we lead them. We kind of guide them by the hand and help them get a business set up. We'll help. We can go online with them. We'll set up the LLC. We'll help them register their trade name. We'll go through that process. We've got tools both online and offline to help them create a business plan. And so we'll work with them. They have to write it. They have to do it, but we can help edit. We can look over their shoulder and work with them on that. And then one of the tools we have is called Live Plan, where it integrates if they use QuickBooks or Xero, which is another accounting software package. It integrates with that. It pulls in all of their financial data and helps. And then they write the front end portion of it, and it creates a nicely packaged plan, business plan that can be updated on a regular basis or printed as a PDF and taken to a lender if you're looking for a loan. So that's one of the things that we do. So we do help clients prepare to present their story to a lender in order to get a loan.
Okay. And then leading into that, you do a series of workshops in the spring and I'm assuming summer and fall. What do you have coming up in spring?
We have one coming up on January 24th, which is 2018 tax changes. There have been changes in the tax law. So we have a CPA who's coming in to do over lunch to do, we're calling it a brown bag lunch event. Bring your lunch and come into the community room. It's being held in building 3 in room 119. And so we've already got 22 people signed up. If you can't make it in person, we're making it available to attend remotely. So via Zoom, and you'll get a link to attend remotely. But that's a free one and a half hour workshop that's going to just give you an overview of the 10 things you need to know about the tax law changes and how you can prepare now
for next year.
So that's one that's coming up. And to register, if you just call 776-2008, that you can call that number and register, or you can email katherine.anderson@yc.edu, or you can go online to our website. It's up there on the website.
Okay.
And that's at yc.edu/SBDC. And then if you just go look at the, there on the right-hand side, I think, is a link for the classes.
Okay.
It's there. We also have monthly cybersecurity lunch and learn series. That's going on. And there's the next one is January 17th. And then we have a series of workshops, hiring, coaching, and termination of employees. That will be one.
That'll be an exciting one.
They're starting a nonprofit business. That's okay. One that's actually conducted by SCORE, but we have a collaboration with SCORE, so they conduct their workshops in our SBDC office classroom. I will be teaching a social media marketing class for the SBDC. It's a 2-hour class, kind of a high-level overview, so you get an update on the top 10 social media platforms.
And I'm sure you're going to sell that out. You got 10 seconds. What do you got left?
We also have government procurement. That's another piece of the pie here, because a lot of people aren't aware that they can sell to the federal government, the county and state government, and we can get you prepared for getting those
contracts.
Perfect.
Sounds like a good niche business. We've about run out of time. Jerry Dennison, thank you so much for joining us today. Folks, stay tuned for more Rough Rider Radio right after this.
Yavapai College is your community college with 6 campus locations throughout Yavapai County, offering a wide variety of quality, affordable academic programs and job training that's designed to get you working quickly. Stay connected with Yavapai College through social media and receive the latest news about performing arts center shows, art exhibitions, upcoming enrollment dates, course schedules, and more. It's all available by just visiting the college website at yc.edu. Now, let's return to Rough Rider Radio with your host, Kim Capen.
Special thanks to Dr. Curtis Kleinman and Jerry Denniston for appearing on today's show. And thank you, audience, for supporting Yavapai College. Remember, you can find information on all YC classes, news, sporting events, concerts, and more by visiting yc.edu and following Yavapai College on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. This is Kim Capen back with you on Rough Rider Radio next week.
You've been listening to Rough Rider Radio with your host, Kim Capen. The views expressed on today's show are solely those of Yavapai College and do not necessarily reflect the views of KQ&A, Prescott Valley Broadcasting, our employees, or our sponsors. Join us next Saturday at 12:30 for Rough Rider Radio on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A.
Rough Rider Radio was paid for by Yavapai College and were solely responsible for its content.